Hi, my name's Tanya. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been a compulsive overeater all my life. It didn't really show in me until my late teenage years. But when I look back now, I can see that even as a young child, I was obsessed with food. I remember asking my mom how long dinner was going to be and feeling really desperate. If she said half an hour, what was I going to do for half an hour? How was I going to cope? I remember going out shopping and sometimes we would go to the cafe in Debenhams and we'd have a piece of cake. And the whole shopping trip in my mind was about, are we going to go to Debenhams and have a piece of cake or not? If we visited my grandparents, that was all about, well, it depends which grandparents we visited. If we went to one grandparent's house, then it was lemon puff biscuits. If we went to the other grandparent's house, which was slightly better at the time, because there they my granddad worked for Cadbury's, so we'd get the misshapen biscuits and the misshapen chocolates there, which was amazing. Although the other grandparents' house, we got more pocket money, so I could then take that pocket money and go and buy sweets. So it was really a toss-up as to which grandparents I preferred visiting. But it was all about the food. I remember waiting to go on summer holiday and saving up for my holiday. I didn't save up money, I saved up food. I had a carrier bag hanging on the back of my bedroom door, and every week I bought some sweets, some biscuits, some crisps, or something to put in this bag, so that by the time we went on holiday, I'd got this massive bag full of lovely goodies to take with me, and that was very, very exciting for me. So although I was a thin child, the obsession with food was most definitely there. My first real diet was when I was 18. I'd had some by that time, some personal trauma in my life, and I'd gained quite a lot of weight. And I got a new boyfriend, and he said that I was too fat and he didn't really find me that attractive. And so I decided that I was going to lose weight and I wanted to get slim enough. I used to watch, those old films with the like the Fred Astaire films with the amazing waistlines, and I wanted to get thin enough that he could put his hands around my waist and join his thumbs to his middle fingers around my waist, which, I mean, that's probably about 20 inches or something or less. And I had a pretty good go at it, That was my first diet. I would eat a packet of crisps for lunch and maybe a couple of sweets, and then maybe a tin of tuna for dinner and a tomato. And I would aim to lose a pound a day, and I'd weigh myself every morning. And if I hadn't lost a pound the day before, then I would eat even less. And in that way, I got down to 7.5 stone. I also got down to the point where I couldn't get out of bed because I felt too weak. And that was, yeah, and I felt fantastic. And people told me that I looked fantastic. And I don't know how long that very slim weight lasted, but I know it didn't last very long. And I remember still the pain of becoming out of control with overeating again, feeling my clothes getting tighter, being unable to do up the zip on my trousers, looking for baggy tops to wear, not being able to wear my skinny clothes. And now that was the first time, and there were many more times. As the years went by, I lost weight, I gained weight, I lost weight, I gained weight. I was reading something recently that was talking about, the alcoholic, and how the alcoholic can sometimes not drink for weeks, months, maybe even years at a time. And I thought about the equivalent of that with overeating. And the fact is that for me, there was never a time that I ate in a normal, healthy way. I never ate what I eat now, which is three or four healthy, moderate meals in a day. That was just unheard of. I was either overeating and binging and eating very unhealthy foods, or I was undereating, starving myself, desperately trying to lose weight. I was told when I was 18 that the way to do it was to change my lifestyle, change my eating patterns, just eat normally and healthily. I couldn't make myself do that. I would persuade myself that no, I was different, I would do it differently. I could stop eating completely and I would lose weight much quicker. The trouble is, as I understand it today, the trouble is that I have an illness. I have an illness that is physical and mental and spiritual. So physically, how the illness is in me is that certain foods trigger an uncontrollable craving for more. The main one of those for me is wheat. If I eat any wheat in any form whatsoever, then I will want to eat more and I will not be able to control that craving. Even after, a long time of being an Overeaters Anonymous, of eating three meals a day, of feeling really well and happy and healthy and very committed, if I accidentally eat some wheat, I will then find myself unable to control the cravings and I will overeat. So even today, I don't accidentally eat wheat. Very, very, very rare that that happens because I'm very, very careful. There are other foods that will also trigger me to overeat. Again, that those high in fat, high in sugar, salty foods. Sweet and salty popcorn, I think, pretty much says it all. Something like that, I can eat until I will pass out. My rock bottom was eating chocolate. It was just after Christmas. And there was lots of jars of chocolate on sale in the shops, and I thought, oh, I'll buy some of those. There were like these two big jars for £5. I'll buy those, have them in the house for when people come round to visit. And now we're moving into the mental side of this illness because in my head, that made perfect sense, and in my head there was a part of me that really believed that I wanted to buy those chocolates not for myself, but for other people when they came round to visit. Now, what then happened was I got them home and I thought, well, I'll just open the one and I'll just eat a couple of my favourites. So I opened up the jar and I started eating. And once I'd eaten two or three, I realised that I'd triggered the physical compulsion to eat more and that I knew that I couldn't stop eating them. If I tried to stop, I just knew from years of experience, if I tried to stop eating them, they would just prey on my mind. They would just be there calling to me, singing to me, as some people say, and I wouldn't be able to rest until I'd gone and eaten them. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to rest until I'd finished eating those chocolates. And I didn't want any to be left for the next day because I knew then I'd get up and I'd want to eat those and I'd start off again the next day. I'd kick it all off again. So it's like, I'm just going to finish this jar so that I can then start tomorrow and I won't have any more, And it was hard, I remember. It was hard. I felt sick before I was halfway down. I was forcing myself to eat these chocolates. I wasn't enjoyment so far out of the picture. It's a compulsion to eat. A lot of people think that overeating is about being self-indulgent, and it can feel like that. Certainly feels like a need for comfort and pleasure. But what we're actually giving ourselves when this disease is really rampant in us, it's got nothing to do with pleasure. I was eating to satisfy a craving that couldn't be satisfied. I was eating to satisfy a craving that is actually made worse by eating. And that is that horrible, horrible place of insanity that I found myself in. And I had found myself in very many times in my life. So I finally got to the bottom of the jar. Of course, went to bed fefeeling ill, woke up feeling ill, feeling hungover, thick tongue, bleary-eyed, bloated, and disgusted with myself. And the disease says you need to eat that other jar because then they'll all be gone and you won't have to feel like this anymore. So I then sat and ate the other jar. And it doesn't make any sense at all. There is no way of understanding this in a rational way. It is a mental illness. I've said it's also a spiritual illness. And how I think of that is that my whole life, for me, I've always felt very alone, like I don't quite fit in. One way of describing it is to say, something I was born without the rule book. As a child, I remember, thinking that other people seem to know how to behave. Other people seem to know what to say. Other people seem to have this ease and comfort that I didn't feel unless I was eating. So I always felt very alone, and I often felt very overwhelmed by life. I often felt like I couldn't cope. I couldn't do life. Other people seemed to be able to do life in a way that I couldn't. And again, eating helped me to get through. I was a school teacher for some years, and I found that extremely difficult. It wasn't a good job for me. I should never have done it. But the way I got through it was by eating. I would buy chocolate. I would have chocolate in my stock cupboard. And when the children were working, I'd be going in and out of the stock cupboard eating chocolates. At break time, I would be eating. At lunchtime, I remember getting in my car, off down to the shops. I'd buy myself some pastries, some cream cakes, eat those on the way back, then go in and have a school dinner, and then go out to the bike sheds and have a few cigarettes, eating mints all the while to stop my breath from smelling. And then I'd go in to teach the afternoon, and I wasn't. Obviously, I wasn't very good at my job because I wasn't really focused on, while other teachers were sitting there working through their lunch break, preparing for the afternoon, I was, off fulfilling my addiction. And yes, I wasn't very good at my job, so I'd be more stressed. So on the way home, I'd have to buy more food. And it really is this horrible vicious cycle. So the solution to this physical, mental, and spiritual illness for me has to be physical, mental, and spiritual as well. Physically, today I have a food plan, and my food plan is usually three meals in a day plus a fruit snack in the afternoon. I have more or less the same thing for breakfast every day. I have more or less the same thing for lunch every day, and I have a variety of different meals for dinner. And in some ways, you could say that my food is very boring, but I enjoy it today in a way that I never really enjoyed my food in the past, because there was always this aspect of either, overindulging or depriving myself, and there was always, some guilt and some fear involved in the food that I was having, as well as the pleasure that I was getting from it. Whereas today, I can eat a meal, what I call an abstinent meal, and I have peace with that meal because I know that what I'm eating is what my body needs in order to be nourished. I know that that by eating that abstinent meal, I am treating myself with respect and love. Mentally today, I have the support of other members of Overeaters Anonymous. I go to three meetings a week where I can talk to other people who are suffering from the same illness that I have, and they understand me in a way that nobody else can, and I understand them, and we can talk with complete openness and honesty about ourselves, about our food, about our lives, about our feelings, about our thoughts, about the insane stuff that goes on in our heads. We can share all of that in a safe place, without anybody judging us and without anybody telling us what to do or giving us advice. It isn't about that. It's just about having somewhere where I can talk and I can be understood. Yeah. And then spiritually, I have the 12-step program. And the 12-step program is all about clearing away the old behavior patterns, the old thought patterns, the self-destructive way of acting that I have had all of my life, sorting that out and letting go of it so that I can live at peace with the universe. So today I have a spiritual connection to, for me, what is the spirit of the universe. Different people have different ideas of what that is. It's very important to emphasize that there's nothing religious about Overeaters Anonymous. It is simply that we find that there is a power within us that if we actually allow that, then It will look after us. And finding that has been the most precious gift of all, you know, beyond, you know, the sanity that I have today, the figure that I have today, the life that I have today, having that connection to what we call a power greater than myself is the greatest gift that I could ever have. You know, that's is the greatest gift that I've got. And that's, if you like, that is the most, the thing that I am most grateful for. It's also nice to be able to go on holiday, as I did recently, and wear a bikini and go for long walks up hills and be able to breathe, you know. That is also really, really good. But what is better than that is peace of mind and self-respect and self-love that I thought I could never have. And I would say to anybody who's thinking about coming to Overeaters Anonymous, come to a meeting, see if you like it. If you don't like it, try another meeting. We have a saying, you know, don't leave before the miracle happens. And I would say that, go to a meeting and go to a few meetings. And if you feel like you fit in, then just keep going. And eventually, sooner or later, your life will begin to change and you will begin to feel the benefits. I love it. It saved my life, and then it gave me a life worth living. Thank you.